Chapter 12. Making the Sale. In the actual process of selling, the first step is to qualify the prospective buyer. That is, the salesperson must find out the following information that will be needed in presenting the sales plan to the best advantage. The salesperson will probably have to find ways to tactfully get this information from the prospective buyer as well as from other sources. Qualifying the prospective buyer. 1. How much money is the prospective buyer prepared to spend, and how much should the buyer be asked to spend? 2. Are conditions, including the prospective buyer's state of mind, favorable for closing the sale? If not, when are they likely to be? 3. Will the prospective buyer act alone, or must some lawyer, banker, spouse, relative, counselor, or other person be consulted before a decision can be reached? If so, who is the person to be consulted and for what specific purpose? 4. If the prospective buyer must consult another person before making a decision, will the buyer permit the salesperson to be present at the consultation? This is highly important. You can't afford for a third person to sit in judgment of you and your wares without being there to present your own case. 5. Does the prospective buyer like to do most of the talking? If so, be sure to give them the opportunity. Every word that a prospective buyer speaks will serve as a clue to what is in the buyer's mind. If the prospective buyer is not inclined to talk freely, ask leading questions that will bring out the desired information. While qualifying the prospective buyer, the salesperson will also learn what excuse or objections are likely to be offered when the closing point has been reached. The following are some of the most commonly used excuses to which practically all prospective buyers resort. 1. The prospective buyer will claim not to have the money. The master salesperson always takes this one with more than the proverbial grain of salt. If you are a sales professional, you have already accurately qualified the prospective buyer, so you know the buyer's financial status and can, therefore, tactfully meet this objection. 2. The prospective buyer may tell the salesperson that he or she does not wish to decide until he or she has talked the matter over with a spouse, banker, lawyer. The master salesperson will tactfully invite the client to permit the salesperson to talk to both the client and the client's advisor together. At this interview, the master salesperson will analyze the spouse or other confidant and ascertain whether he or she is a partner, the real boss, or merely subterfuge. Needless to say, if the spouse is the boss, the salesperson will direct the sales efforts mainly to that person. 3. The prospective buyer may claim to need more time to think the matter over. The master salesperson knows about how much thinking the majority of people do. However, the salesperson will use tact in such cases and will suggest ways and means by which to assist the prospective buyer in the task of thinking. The master salesperson permits prospective buyers to believe they are doing their own thinking, but the sales professional takes care to see that they think with ideas and facts which the salesperson supplies. If you are a master salesperson, you never try to close a sale until you are absolutely sure that you have painted a picture in the prospective buyer's mind that has created a strong desire for your goods or services. The prospective buyer must be able to buy. This is a point on which no guessing should be done. It is the master salesperson's business to know, and if you do not know, you are not a master salesperson. Trying to sell a Cadillac to a person who has a Ford bank account is wasted effort. Accurate qualification prevents such waste. The first thing a master salesperson asks a prospective purchaser of life insurance is, how much insurance do you now carry, and what sort of policies do you have now? Armed with this information and knowing the prospective buyer's approximate financial status, the life insurance salesperson knows what policy to offer the client. Encourage your customer to talk freely. When police officials are called in to solve a murder mystery, the thing they want to know is the motive. Unless the motive for the crime has been established, it is often difficult to apprehend the criminal, and then to convict him after he has been apprehended. Anyone is already beaten when an adversary gains possession of the motives by which that person is inspired to action. When police officials arrest a man who is suspected of having committed a crime, they immediately try to convince the suspect to talk. Every word uttered, as well as any refusal to talk on certain points, gives the investigators information from which they can make important deductions. Until the actual presentation of your sales plan, you should be like one of those police investigators. It is your business to get the facts, and the best method of getting them is to get your prospective buyer to talk. Some who call themselves salespeople spoil their chances of making sales by opening their mouths and closing their eyes and ears. Find out your prospective buyer's major motives and major weaknesses, and that buyer is as good as yours before you begin. The most successful salespeople manage their interviews so tactfully that the prospective buyers believe that they are managing it. When the sale has been closed, the buyer believes he or she has made a purchase rather than having been sold anything. Master salespeople prepare themselves by putting together a set of stock questions they can use to get the information they will need to accurately qualify potential buyers. Care and thought in preparing and asking these questions will enable you to get all the information needed to close a sale. Most people will answer any reasonable questions they are asked. By asking the prospect directly, you will be sure the information is reliable because the prospect will supply it. The salesperson who is too indifferent or too lazy to qualify their prospective buyers deserves to fail, and such salespeople usually do. Building buyer confidence. Master salespeople often make it a part of their technique to contact prospective buyers in advance of any sales call. Their first contact is simply to qualify the buyer in an unobtrusive manner. I have known many master salespeople who have entertained their prospective buyers for months while establishing confidence, meanwhile refraining from any attempt to make sales. One of the most successful life insurance salespeople in America specializes in the sale of insurance policies to men with whom he plays golf. He takes great care, however, never to refer to his profession, even briefly, on the golf course. Moreover, he never tries to talk insurance to his prospective buyers until after he has played golf with them at least 3 times. Even then, he leads up to the subject through well-prepared, tactful questions which prompt his prospective buyers to ask him about insurance. He calls himself an insurance counselor. He tells prospective buyers that his business is to go over their insurance policies with them to see whether or not they have the best form of insurance, the right amount, and so forth. Naturally, he chooses prospective buyers who carry large amounts of insurance and who, therefore, have many policies already in force. He has made hundreds of sales without asking his prospective buyers to take additional insurance, merely by analyzing their insurance schedules in such a tactful way as to plant in their minds the thought that they need additional insurance of one sort or another. Confidence must be created by the master salesperson in the minds of prospective buyers. If you qualify your prospective buyers properly, you build their confidence while doing so. All of this process of qualifying the prospective buyer must be done before you attempt to close the sale. Practically every sale that is lost after the sales presentation has been made occurs for one of two reasons. First, the salesperson has failed to accurately qualify the prospective buyer before making the sales presentation. And second, the salesperson has not properly neutralized the mind of the prospective buyer before trying to close the sale. Neutralizing the buyer's mind. After the prospective buyer has been qualified, or during the qualification process before a sale can be made, the customer's mind must be emptied of negative attitude, bias, resentment, and all other conditions unfavorable to the salesperson. The prospective buyer's mind must be cultivated and prepared before the seed of desire can be successfully planted in it. A neutral or favorable prospective buyer has the following. 1. Confidence. The buyer must have confidence in the salesperson and in the goods or services. 2. Interest. The buyer must be reached through an appeal to his or her imagination and through the interest it aroused in the commodity offered for sale. 3. Motive. The buyer must always have a logical motive for buying. The building of this motive is the salesperson's most important task. No prospective buyer's mind has been neutralized and made favorable until these three conditions exist in their mind. The salesperson's first duty is to create confidence in the mind of the prospective buyer. Nothing builds confidence more quickly than a genuine interest in the buyer's business problems. The smart professional salesperson makes a careful analysis of the buyer's business, and the ups and downs the buyer has to face in doing his or her business. The salesperson's second duty in preparing the buyer's mind is to arouse interest in the goods or services to be sold. To arouse interest in your wares, you will have to use imagination, faith, enthusiasm, knowledge of your merchandise, persistence, and showmanship. A neutral mind will be of no advantage to you if you lack the ability to plant in that mind the seed of desire for your merchandise. And that seed cannot be planted without interest on the part of the prospective buyer. The salesperson's third duty is to create an appropriate motive to induce the prospective buyer to purchase their wares. This means you have to have full and complete knowledge of the prospective buyer and the buyer's business. Failure to neutralize the mind of the prospective buyer is one of the five major weaknesses of unsuccessful salespeople. There is no fixed rule to be followed in neutralizing the minds of prospective buyers. Each individual case offers conditions peculiar unto itself, and each case must be handled on its own merits. Some of the methods which have been used to neutralize are as follows. 1. Social contacts through sports, fitness, or recreational clubs. It has been said that more business is done on the golf courses than is done in business offices. Certainly, every master salesperson knows the value of networking and club contacts. 2. Religious affiliations. You may make acquaintances through your church, synagogue, or mosque. Connections made in these circumstances tend to establish confidence. 3. Business associations, fraternities, lodges, and union affiliations. In many lines of selling, it will be very helpful for the salesperson to establish contacts through organizations based on common background or interests, where people naturally let down the bars of formality. 4. Personal courtesies. Dinner engagements offer favorable opportunity to establish confidence, which in turn helps to neutralize the mind. 5. Personal service. Under some conditions, salespeople are in a position to render valuable service and to supply helpful information to those with whom they intend to do business subsequently. 6. Mutual interests and hobbies. Nearly everyone has a hobby or some form of interest outside of business. When discussing or pursuing a hobby or leisure interest, people are always inclined to step out from behind their usual defenses. Having neutralized the mind of the buyer and having established confidence, the next step in making a sale is to crystallize that confidence into interest in your goods or services. Here you must build your entire sales presentation around a central motive that is appropriate and best suited to the business and financial status of your prospective buyer. Once you have established confidence, created interest, and also appealed to motive, you have reached the point at which the sale may be closed. The successful sale is like a three-act play. Salesmanship involves principles similar to those on which a successful stage play, movie, or television drama is based. The psychology of selling an individual is closely akin to that which is used by actors in selling an audience. Act 1, interest. The script that succeeds must have a strong opening act that grabs the attention and arouses the interest of the audience. Interest must be created by neutralizing the mind of the prospective buyer and establishing confidence, and your approach must be strong enough to arouse interest in both the salesperson and in the goods or services. If you fall down in this first act, you will experience difficulty, if not impossibility, in making a sale. Act 2, desire. Desire must be developed through the proper presentation of motive. Your sales presentation may be weak in the middle without killing the sale, providing the opening and the close are strong and impelling. The second act develops the plot, and the audience will be charitable, providing they liked the first act well enough to believe there will be a strong climax. Act 3, action. Action, or the close, can be induced only by the proper presentation of the two preceding acts. This third act realizes the objective. It must be a knockout regardless of the first two acts, or the play will be a flop. Needless to say, the director, salesperson, who successfully presents the three-act drama of selling must possess and use imagination. The imagination is the workshop of the mind in which is fashioned every idea, plan, and mental picture with which the salesperson creates desire in the mind of the prospective buyer. Words alone will not sell. Words woven into combinations of thought that create desire will sell. Some salespeople never do learn the difference between rapid-fire conversation that does not end soon enough and carefully painted word pictures that fire the imagination of the prospective buyer. The sole object of neutralizing the mind of prospective buyers is, of course, to establish confidence. Unless confidence has been built in the mind of the prospect, no sale can be made. The 10 factors on which confidence is built. By careful observation of thousands of salespeople, I discovered that 10 major factors enter into the development of confidence. They are: 1. Follow the habit of rendering more service and better service than you are paid to render. 2. Enter into no transaction that does not benefit everyone whom it affects. 3. Make no statement that you do not believe to be true, no matter what temporary advantages a falsehood might seem to offer. 4. Have a sincere desire in your heart to be of the greatest possible service to the largest number of people. 5. Cultivate a wholesome admiration for people. Like them better than you like money. 6. Do your best to live your own philosophy of business. Actions speak louder than words. 7. Accept no favors, large or small, without giving favors in return. 8. Ask for nothing of any person unless you believe you have a right to what you ask for. 9. Enter into no arguments with any person over trivial or non-essential details. 10. Spread the sunshine of good cheer wherever and whenever you can. A master can sell anything. A master salesperson can sell a person anything that person needs if the purchaser has confidence in the salesperson. A master salesperson can also sell a person many things that person does not need, but a master salesperson does not do that. Remember, to be a master salesperson, you must play the double role of buyer and seller. Therefore, you must not try to sell any person anything that you yourself would not buy if you were actually in the position of the prospective buyer. Every successful business must have the confidence of its patrons. The salesperson is that intermediary through which this confidence is acquired or lost. The master salesperson knows the importance of acquiring and holding the confidence of the buyers. So, the master salesperson bargains with them as if he or she were the owner of the business. High-pressure methods, exaggerated statements of fact, willful misrepresentation, and innuendo destroy confidence. If you are a salesperson who knows how to build the bridge of confidence to prospective purchasers, you may write your own ticket. Some years ago, when almost everyone wore a hat, I knew a master salesperson who ran a chain of men's hat stores in Chicago. This store gave the guarantee that if the customer found his purchase unsatisfactory, he could bring back the hat or any part of it to the store and receive a brand new one in its place with no questions asked. I was informed by the owner of the store that one man had been coming back twice a year for more than 7 years and exchanging his old hat for a new one. And you permit him to get away with that? Get away with it, the store owner replied. Why, man alive, if I had 100 men doing the same thing, I could retire from business with all the money I need inside of 5 years. never a day passes that we do not trace sales to the talking done by this man. He is literally a walking and talking advertisement for us. That statement threw an entirely different light on the subject. I saw that this hat store owner had built an enormous business on an unusual policy which developed confidence. There are two major occasions which cause people to talk about a business: when they think they have been cheated, and when they have received fairer treatment than expected. All people are like this. They are impressed by the law of contrast. Anything unusual or unexpected, whether it impresses favorably or unfavorably, makes a lasting impression.